Blog Talk Radio.
Almighty Yahweh promises to gather everyone together. I am a Hebrew. We are Hebrew.
I am a Hebrew. I was born in Texas.
I am a Hebrew, and I am from Florida.
I'm a Hebrew, and I was born in California.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in San Diego, California.
I'm a Hebrew. I was born in Indiana.
I'm a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Spain.
私は Hebrew で、日本で生まれました。
Soy hebrea. Nací en Puerto Rico.
I am a Hebrew. From West Africa, Liberia.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Straight Way.
We are Hebrew.
Hello, my sister.
Hallelujah.
Praise Yah. Hallelujah. Welcome to another show. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Lots going on. Many are being called. Many are being called, and few are being chosen. There will be few, always. I praise the Most High Yah for each of you. For being able to tune in, listen in, that we have ears to hear. Hallelujah. It is absolutely miraculous that anyone in this generation is able to hear and believe that we have obeyed our blessed holy name. He deserves all the glory. I'm your host tonight, Sister Ashley. I have wonderful and beautiful spirit-filled sisters behind me and a very small audience. Hallelujah. Right here in December of 2022. And Mother Jennifer's in Georgia. Let's get a sound check. Mother Jennifer.
Hallelujah, shalom, and bless you, Sister Ashley, and blessings to the listening audience, those who are sitting with Sister Ashley in Tennessee, and those who are listening from wherever you are. It's an honor to be here tonight. with you all. I pray that you can hear me. I can hear you very well, Sister Ashley, and if everything is okay on your end, we can proceed.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much. Sounds good. Looks good. Thanks to everyone in the chat. Hallelujah. Those who have taken time out of your schedule. Honestly, appreciate it. I thank you so much for hearing and seeing y'all in this ministry. It's no light thing. Hey, I didn't do the countdown this week, but I think it's about, 114 days, 110 days or so before the feast. And I hope that each of you are, digging in. You know, some of us make commitments like I'm going to fast, set myself apart, going to study this, study that, stay tuned in, make spiritual commitments, even fleshly commitments, of exercise or things, taking care of your vessel. I pray that you are occupying your time wisely. I personally have been involved in more than two experiences this week that show me some of us just aren't getting the message. We're just not fearing the Most High Yah. There's nothing else that we can do as a ministry, as our leaders, really press and lead the charge. There's nothing else they can do to try to administer the word to us to make us fear the Most High Yah. If you're a young daughter of Zion, if you're a wife, I could just beg you to please try to submit and obey and stay under the protection and the hedge of your husband. There's a lot of frivolous things happening, a lot of unnecessary things happening, and I bless the holy name of the Most High Yah for sorting the wheat and the tares. I really do. I pray that we make it. I pray that we stand. There will be great accusation, hallelujah, that will rise up in these end times. How do we know that? Because the accuser of the brethren has been cast down according to Revelation, and it's going to be hard to stand mentally if you're not opposing all the things that the weakness of the flesh generates from week to week. You got to fight really hard, press really hard. Thankful to be in the land of the living, Mother Jennifer. All praises to the Most High Yah, that I know you, that I know Georgia. I'm very honored to be a part of this ministry from the inside in a time where, many are being called. And, the trumpet is going out, the alarm is going out, the call is going out, hallelujah, and the Most High Yah is knocking on the hearts of his people. I'm very thankful to be a part of it, to witness it. I talked with Chef and some of the sisters here right before the show and had some good dialogue about the interview last night. But what's on your heart? Any acknowledgments or just announcements, Mother Jennifer?
Yes, ma'am. Sister Ashley, I just want to acknowledge the Most High Yah for showing me who I am and bringing me home to the place called Straightway. It really, truly is an honor to be a part of this ministry. And we were saying before the broadcast, I was telling you, Sister Ashley, that, without a husband, I would not have known what family is like. I would not have known what Straightway truly is, that this is my home, and I'm so happy to be led by a true leader, a true head, to bring me to a place where I am just loved and accepted, and I am taught, and I am covered. So I just want to say that, there's so many ways that as a woman that I am protected. There's so many things that I don't have to experience. So many traumas that I can be healed from because of the righteous leadership that we have here in the ministry. So blessings to the leadership of Straightway, blessings to my head, Elder Rufus, and blessings to our shepherd, Pastor Dow. I truly appreciate all that you all do. Sister Ashley.
Truly appreciate all that they do, absolutely. To all of you who labor in the vineyard, every single one of you, way too many to name, may the Most High Yah shine his favor on you. So from time to time, we get to house visitors on the land. Many of the communities do. That's how we operate. When you travel, you find a place that's worthy for you to abide, and there you stay, according to the word. And Elder Mitch's family had come down recently to the land and got to speak with Sister Erica, very short chat with her. But just like the pattern of Erica and I's speech, and it's happened before, I noticed the things on her heart and on her mind needed to be shared, and it would be good dialogue. So we invited her on to the show tonight. Sister Erica, Erica Polidor, bless you and welcome to the show. Let's get a good sound check on your voice.
Yes, ma'am. Bless you. Shalom, Mother Jennifer. Shalom, Sister Ashley. It's always an honor to be on the show. I pray that everyone is edified, and may the Spirit have his way. Do I sound good?
Yes, ma'am. Love from Kenya and Canada tonight in the chat. They can hear you very well. Is there anything you just want to, before we kick it off, I'd also like to read an email, so we're not going to go straight into your conversation yet. Erica, I almost forgot that I got an email to read. We've heard your voice loud and clear, but any announcements or acknowledgments, something that you may have missed?
Yes, I just want to say blessings to Shepherd's household, to my master's household. I want to say thank you to the sisters who are helping me watch my little ones right now. And the interview yesterday was very, very great interview. I thank Yah for what he's doing, and I thank Yah, I thank Pastor Dow for being obedient to Yahweh, and I truly can see how the Spirit is leading and guiding our men.
Yes, it's something to behold. It really is. And if anyone's listening to this, and oftentimes viewers or subscribers will check out our channel even weeks or months from now. So I'll put a plug in for Jason Whitlock's interview of Pastor Dow and ex-NFL players Rob Mathis, Daniel Muir, T.J. Clemens, and Kabir Bajabi Amelia. The channel is called Jason Whitlock Fearless, right, Sakina? Jason Whitlock, thank you, ma'am. And thank you. She put it in the chat room. It was a great, great interview. You know, what can we say other than what they already said? It was Holy Spirit-led, and I'm very thankful that, you know, looking out across the world as if it were myself out there lost, I'm thankful that the Most High Spirit is still, you know, stretched out to help his people and to gain his people. He is not, his hand is not too short that he may save and deliver. And I thank him for continuing his work. He's still alive. He is still alive amongst us. Let me go to an email really quick. And I should have had this, hold on a second. I think I got it pulled up on my phone. That's easier. All right. Thought this might help someone else out. So I'll share her email and then I'll share how I answered it. It says, Shalom and bless you to whoever's reading this. Let me pause right there. If you are interested in speaking to someone that is a woman seeking righteousness such as yourself, who may have answers through her experience in holiness with the Father in this faith, in this walk at Straightway Truth Ministries, you can email us. All lowercase, straightwayhelpmeets@gmail.com. So we try to pass the emails through an integrity system. It will be honored and shared with only the person that needs to help you. If it needs to go above us, it will do that as well. And what we mean by above is to someone who is in a leadership position and able to direct you in more serious situations. But in this case, back to the email, it says, Shalom and bless you, whoever is reading this. I'm writing because I have a question dealing with spiritual warfare and discernment. The topic is about legal grounds and speech. Does legal grounds begin once you submit to the thought by actually committing that sin or speaking it? Pause real quick, Mother Jennifer. The word legal grounds is something that we've kind of coined here at the ministry and use a lot. So could you explain what legal ground means? Because it's going to be repeated in the email.
Yes, ma'am. Legal ground would simply mean like an access or a permission that is given based on something that you've done or something that you said. So it gives access or permission for something to take place. Sister Ashley.
Thank you so much. Very good. And in this situation, she's meaning for the spirits, the enemy, demons, or Satan himself. Back to the question, does legal grounds begin once you submit to the thought by actually committing that sin or speaking it? For example, if I'm having thoughts about feeling insufficient or like a failure in a certain area, or what in the world would we call venting, if I'm venting about feelings that are bothering me, would that conversation in itself be giving legal grounds? When you're speaking out loud to someone about what you're dealing with, is that giving legal grounds by speaking about it, putting it into the air? Sometimes I don't express things out loud or to others because I don't want to speak out loud whatever it is that I'm dealing with, but I end up trying to just deal with it alone, not with man, and going to the Most High. I know spirits submit thoughts to your mind, but at what point is there legal ground? I know they can't read our minds, but how can you tell what is your mind, what is not, so that you can speak your thoughts? She says, I apologize if I'm wording this incorrectly. I pray it makes sense, and it did, but I'll share with you what I wrote. Legal grounds begins when your forefathers sin. Your thoughts are proof of their sin and your iniquity. Confess your thoughts as sin. Confess their actions, known and unknown, by pleading the blood of Jesus fervently. Hallelujah. I hope that helps someone, because when you begin to confess, or even if you just know that the enemy is real and spirits are real, you will sometimes, they will bind you with a fear of speaking something out loud, you know, not wanting to say into the air what a true confession really is, you know, dealing with it inside your own mind and rejecting it and casting it down inside your own head without truly putting it out there for fear that you would be given place to something. So move past that. Hallelujah. And hopefully I made sense. Mother Jennifer, anything to add?
Yes, ma'am, and there's a difference between, you know, when you are speaking to the Father, there's a difference between honest confession and complaining. If you're, let's say you're speaking to another sister and you say that you need help, but really it's more of a complaint, that's different than you actually getting with the Father and making honest confessions of things that you know are hindering you, things that are binding you. Honest confessions is what will lead to repentance. Complaining will lead to accusations, and it'll destroy or tear down. So it truly depends on what the intent of your heart is. If you desire to be set free, then those confessions will lead to freedom. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. Thank you. Very well said. Remember, to confess is to agree with the wrong. Hallelujah. So we should continually agree with the wrong, or agree that something is wrong by our confessions. All right. So I want to give a special shout out, almost forgot, to my sister Janice, who held her body for her beloved husband in a very, very beautiful union. I want to say thank you to her. I want to say thank you to all young daughters who are keeping themselves pure. I want to rebuke the devil who comes after any purity and hates it, and knows that we are trying to be restored and to restore a covenant that's so pure and so clean for Yah's people. Bless his holy name. Hit it, Chef. Bless you, Sister Johnny's. So tonight we talked to Sister Erica Polidor. I'm going to let her have the mic, and she's just going to freely, freely speak to us. And I do want to give honor to her once again for saving her body and her mind for her husband, being married also within this ministry as a virgin. Bless you, Sister Erica Polidor. The mic is yours. I'm going to step away for a very brief moment, and I'll be right back. Y'all won't even miss me. Erica, welcome again to the show. Take it away.
Shalom. Bless y'all, sisters. Thank you, Sister Ashley. I pray everybody's doing well this evening. I just wanted to come on because there's been many things that I've been meditating on, just a lot of things that have been laid on my heart by the Spirit for me to ponder on, and I wanted to just speak on these things, and hopefully they will edify and bless my sisters as well. So many of y'all know our Mama Brenda had passed away a few weeks ago. She was an older woman, but she wasn't too aged. She was a great mom to us here on the community. She was a wonderful grandmother to many of the children. And she just had a very beautiful spirit, beautiful smile, beautiful laughter, always wanted to do for the saints, enjoyed cooking for the saints, enjoyed grilling, enjoyed, if she had it in her possession to give, she enjoyed giving. She loved to garden, so she was actually over our garden while she was alive. And there was many things that she knew how to do with her hands. She knew how to can, she knew how to crochet. She had a lot of knowledge and wisdom to give, and we really appreciated her and really enjoyed her. When she passed away a few weeks ago, it was the first time that I had experienced anybody that close to me passing, and it allowed me to view life and death much more different than I had ever viewed it. Of course, you know, there was the peace knowing that, hallelujah, she's now with the King, but there was also a lot of mourning because of knowing that we would miss her. I knew that I would miss her presence in my life. She was very impactful in my life. I had known her, I would say, for about maybe 9 years or so, 8 or 9 years, about 9 years. And I know what stuck out to me the most with her, what I truly appreciated from her was the kindness, the love, the patience, and the temperance that she had towards children. I know my oldest is 7 years old, and I remember whenever I had her, I birthed her. I placed her in Mama Brenda's arms, and I told her, hey, you know, you can be her grandmother. You're her grandmother. This is your granddaughter. And she received her as such. Mama Brenda received Abigail as such. And she truly was a wonderful grandmother to all of Elder's children. We had three more after Abigail, so we had a total of four, and each one she received as her own grandchildren. And what I learned from her, like I said, was how to have patience and temperance with children. Many older women tend not to be as patient and temperate with children, and that's not, you know, to speak evil or negative of any of the older women. It's just something that I've observed over time. It can be difficult at times for the older women to show patience and temperance to the children. But with Mama Brenda, she truly had a joy in children. Whenever they would come around, you know, she would smile, she would laugh at the things they would do. Just simply at them being children, she truly enjoyed being around them. And she told me, she said, she loves being around children because of how pure they are, how pure their love is. And I remember, you know, whenever I would go through seasons of my life where I would get really frustrated or impatient with my master's children, you know, she would always be there to show them that love and tenderness that they may have been missing from me at those times. And whenever she passed, I believe it hurt so much because I was like, man, where are they going to get that now? You know, she truly was that source of love and tenderness and patience, you know, that the children needed. And, of course, my husband told me, he said, you know, you have to be that. You have to be that for our children, you know, especially now that she was gone. And that really stuck with me, and it allowed me to see myself more and to want to be a better mother. It really pushed me to really strive to practice more patience and temperance and tenderness with my children, with my master's children. But it didn't stop with my master's children. It made me want to be that for all the other children around me as well, on community and all throughout Israel. I wanted to have that same spirit, that same nature of nurture, of kindness, of tenderness. And really, I've been really striving to do so, and I've seen a complete difference, you know, with the children around me, whether they be my own or those around me. I see what good it does for their spirits. And I believe in Israel, sometimes we don't pay enough attention to how we're affecting the children around us, whether they be our own or those who live on community with us or those that we see on Shabbat. I know Ashley's spoken this way before on the broadcast, but we really do have such a big impact on children and on their lives. One thing that the Spirit, you know, really has been ministering to me and that I've really been meditating on is how we represent Yahweh to the children. Because the children, they only know Yahweh, especially them being born into this, you know, they only know Yahweh by how we act and how we speak and how we are. The way we are, we're representing Yahweh's ways. We're representing who Yahweh is. We're representing his word. And if we're always angry and yelling and frustrated and impatient with them, then that's how they're going to view Yah's ways, because we proclaim to be in his way, and we proclaim as their moms to be following this book, and we proclaim to be Israelites, and we proclaim that what we are doing is according to this book. But if all we're doing, if all they see of a majority of the time is frustration, impatience, and all of these things, then that's what they're going to associate to this way. And that's a very terrible misrepresentation of the Father and of his way and of his word. And our Yahweh is too merciful and too good and too just for us to misrepresent him in that way. So it's been really on my heart to be an example of kindness, an example of gentleness, tenderness, patience, you know, just really the fruits of the Spirit, really just manifesting them more before the children. I know sometimes sisters would ask, what is the best way for me to teach, you know, my children? And, of course, there's many different aspects of life that we have to teach them. We have to teach them when it comes to schooling. We have to teach them how to function, how to work, the daughters how to clean, how to cook, how to work with their hands, and things like that. But one of the ways that we are also teaching them is how we function and how we act, because that's what they see on a 24/7 basis, and they're learning by seeing what we're doing. So if we have attitude, anger, frustration, impatience, if we have a negative spirit towards someone, if we have an attitude, even when nobody's around, if while we're cleaning we have a bad spirit on us, whatever the case may be, they're seeing that. And that will teach them how to be. But if we are being cheerful in our doings, if we are having honor and respect towards our sisters, towards our husbands, if we're practicing patience, if we're practicing meekness and temperance and these things that are of the Spirit, then they will learn that, and they will practice that behavior. They will follow after that behavior. So it's really important to be mindful that 24/7 we are being watched. And if it's not by our own children, because some of us don't have children, but the children who live around us on community, they are being impacted as well. They are seeing how you're acting and how you are functioning. I know Ashley has spoken this way on the broadcast as well. Basically, if you're not a mother to a child, you still have an impact in that child's life. You can still influence that child because they see how you're acting. They see the spirit that you carry. And these children, they, especially when they're so young, they mimic everything subconsciously. It's just how they are. They watch, they see, and they mimic, they do. They learn from what they see. So I just wanted to start off with that. I don't know, Mother Jennifer, if you're still on the line and if you would like to say anything. If not, I'll keep on going.
Hallelujah, Mother Jennifer.
Sister Erica, I'm sorry. Sister Erica, your words are very true, and I have nothing to add. Very, very wise words, so much to think about and so much to chew on. Sister Ashley?
Keep going. Sister Erica, nothing to add.
God bless you. Yes, ma'am. So it's been really upon me not to want to lay stumbling blocks before the children, whether they be my own or children around me. Like I said, because we do represent the Father in to all these children and how we act and how we speak and how we are, especially towards them, these things can lay stumbling blocks before them if we have negative spirits before them or negative spirits towards them. And that's something, of course, not to be taken lightly, because they are Yahweh's children. And one of my motivating factors, what's been really driving me in pursuing this and pursuing a greater level of love towards the children, is because of how much I love the Father. I truly love the Most High, Yah, and it's a fearful thing to think of laying a stumbling block before these children by how I am towards them or how I'm acting before them. And so one of the things that's been on my heart as well is the balance that love possesses or that we should have in love. You know, of course, love isn't catering to feelings and emotions. We know that, you know, the American way, the American definition of love, the Christian definition of love, we know is very false. But sometimes we can go to the other far extreme of thinking love is only rebuke, only correction, only these things where you're always telling them what they're doing wrong or telling somebody what they're doing wrong. And that's where I notice some women also lose balance, because then when children come around them, all they have for them is rebuke and correction. And rebuke and correction is very necessary with children. And I will be the first to correct a child when they are out of place or if they are dishonoring and disrespecting. But I believe sometimes we lose balance and we don't show the other side of love, which is also tenderness and kindness and patience. And so just like with my own children, and I believe a lot can say the same, you know, there's times where we rebuke and correct and give the rod and instruction, and then there's other times where we sit with them and play with them and talk to them and ask them how they're doing and give them an embrace or give them a hug. And just like I would do that with my own children, I love all the children as if they were on my own children, I would do the same for them. And so instead of just always rebuking them, always correcting the children around us, even the ones who are not our own, just taking the time to show some kindness, some tenderness, and really sincerely having tenderness within your own heart towards them, like truly feeling that tenderness towards them, like that love, that compassion, that mercy towards them, because it will really affect how you act with them. My husband, he would tell me that the children need to feel my love. And that was one thing that even, you know, if I'm speaking, I can be saying anything, but what is the spirit that I'm letting out towards my own children, but towards any other child around me? What spirit am I letting off? Am I letting off one of frustration and I don't want to be here and I don't want you around me, or you're wasting my time? Or is it a spirit of I love you, I care about you, I want to take care of you, I want to teach you, I want to instruct you? Because even in correction and instruction, we already know we're not supposed to do that in anger and frustration either. Even when I'm very stern with my voice and with my words, I still make sure that there is love in my spirit, that I'm doing it because I care about them and I really want to see them do better. And there's temperance and there's self-control to where I'm not speaking in anger, even though I might be speaking very stern and firm. And so just paying more attention to the spirit in how you are actually feeling in that moment, meaning are you feeling angry, frustrated, or are you feeling self-control, temperance, peace, and things of that sort. Because the children can feel it. We already know even the smallest of babies can feel your spirit. When you're frustrated, you know, they feel it. When you have love and comfort, they feel it. But just basically having more temperance, more self-control of the tongue, being slower. And when I say slower, you know, slow to speak, but in the sense of whenever I feel that rise within me, I've been really practicing to hold my tongue in that moment that I feel the rise and make sure that I gain temperance, gain self-control, and then that went so that when I speak, that I don't have that rise within me of anger, frustration. Because it's, I know for many as moms, it's very easy when they say something, they do something, you have to, you know, correct them on something. It can be so easy to let that rise up. But when you do and you speak out of that rising up, that's when you end up speaking in anger, frustration, and then you feel guilty afterwards because of how you were with them. But just being slower within your spirit, not procrastinating, because these things usually have to be corrected in the moment, but slower in the sense of catching my tongue when I feel like I'm about to say something I'm going to regret later. And then in that moment, just fixing it and saying, speaking in love and temperance and self-control, making sure that my spirit is correct in that moment while speaking to my children or any child. I remember Ashley had said on one of the other broadcasts, it was the one that I was previously on speaking, and I'm may not quote it exactly, but it was basically saying that you see the respect that other people have for themselves by how they treat their children. And it took me a bit to really understand it, but the more I thought about it and the more I meditated, I really understood it. Because if we care about our nation and its future, not just its present, but its future, like when we're dead and gone, you know, we would really be mindful of how we are investing in these children, how we are affecting these children, and how we are impacting these children, because they are the future of our nation. They're going to be the grown women and the grown men when we're all old. And if all they see is anger, frustration, attitudes, warring among ourselves, you know, that's how they're going to learn how to be towards one another. Or they might just say, you know what, I'm going to leave. I'm getting out of this because I don't see anything good in it. And so those are the stumbling blocks, like I said, that we can lay before the children to make them not even want to stay in this. Or if they stay in this, they would have the wrong type of spirit and attitude. So it really does matter how we are with the children, and taking the time to teach them, to instruct them, whether it be natural things, because when we're dead and gone, they're going to have to know how to, like Pastor always says, they're going to have to know how to keep these communities running. So these daughters are going to have to know how to can, how to mylar bag, how to take care of sheep and goats and chickens, how to cook for large amounts, how to maintain cleanliness in the home and on the community. So all of these things we have to be diligent in teaching them, because they are our future, but then also spiritually, just how are we, what are we investing in them by what we teach them, but also what we are showing them by our behavior and actions. I know one of the things that has really been on my heart and mind from what Pastor had been preaching the last couple months. Now, these were a few months ago. He was really touching on the Word of Yahweh. He was touching on how the Word of Yahweh helps with the reprogramming of the subconscious mind. It helps in forming the mind, renewing the mind. He was speaking on how the Word cleanses and how we are washed by the Word. And he was speaking how the Word is the seed. And when you sow the seed, it bears good fruit, you know, if you sow the Word. And so the way it's been really ministering to me lately is sowing into the children, sowing the Word into the children. And that could look so many different ways. That could be, you know, sitting down with them and reading, or it could just be rehearsing the Word as you go by the way. You know, the Word, like I said, speaks very, very much about diligently teaching the children. But that's a really, really big deal, because if we want to see fruit in these children, we're going to sow the right seed into them. And like Pastor said, the Word is the seed. And so, like the Word says, the Yahweh's Word says that the Word is the seed. And so, like I said, it could be reading, you know, a story from the Bible, or it could be reading a chapter, or it could even be just one verse. You know, sometimes as moms, we can get discouraged because, oh, I wasn't able to read a whole chapter to them today. I wasn't able to, you know, to rehearse the Shema with them today. You know, sometimes we get so caught up in doing things so black and white that it takes away from us actually doing something, because then we get discouraged and we give up. And so sometimes you just got to, not sometimes, but all the time, you just have to focus more so in the moment of what you can do right now. So let's say you couldn't get to a whole chapter today. Okay, just remind them of the verse you read yesterday. You know, you might be at the supper table and you might have realized, oh, today I haven't, you know, read them anything or told them anything of the Word. You know, you could just rehearse to them something that you had read to them a couple days ago. You know, it's that simple. Sometimes we overthink it and then we don't do anything. But it's really that simple. Just, you know, whatever verse you read, whatever book you read, just rehearse it if you didn't have time to read something new. As long as the Word is constantly in their heart and mind and spirit, it's going to bring forth good fruit. And part of that is you taking time also to read the word so you can have something to sow into them also. But I was speaking to a sister the other day. She was wondering why she was not seeing fruit in her child because, you know, she was, you know, instructing them in a certain way, teaching them, you know, with different examples, hey, you need to do this, you need to do this because of this and because of that. And I'll just give the example because I actually, this is an example that, this is something that happened with us. We have our 7-year-old Abigail, and she was failing to follow instruction. And so, like, for example, let's say her schoolwork says circle the answers. Let's say she would start underlining them. Or I'd say, hey, do A, B, and C, meaning go pick this up and then throw this away and then come back and do X, Y, Z. But she might skip a step and do it, you know, and do A and then C and forget B, you know. That's just an example. Well, that's what was going on for the most part. And this sister had the same situation going on with her child, and she was wondering, why is it that I'm not seeing any fruit after giving so much instruction to my child? And my advice is to any mom, if you're not seeing fruit, give more word. You know, give the instruction. Do everything you're already doing. Give correction. Give instruction. Do whatever you got to do in order to, you know, correct that child's behavior, but incorporate more of the word as well. I believe we neglect that area, not realizing how much power there is in the word. Whenever you sow the word, that word is what's going to help bring forth that fruit in that child. So, yes, correct. Follow what the word says, you know, the rod for correction. Give instruction, depending what the situation is, of course. Different situations require the rod of corrections. Different situations require verbal instruction. But regardless of what it is, incorporate more of the word, sowing the word along with those things, and you'll see good fruit from your child. And a lot of times, that's what we're missing with our children, whether they be from our own loins or not, you know, our own loins, but our own, you know, our own womb, or whether they be children that are around us on community. We correct, we do, we instruct from our own words, but we don't use enough of the word of Yahweh to back it up. And it's the word of Yahweh that's going to bring forth that conviction and what's going to bring forth fruit. And I know it because the word says it, you know. And we will reap if we faint not. You know, we will reap what we sow if we faint not. And you might not see fruit the very next day, but you just got to keep on going. You just got to stay persistent, having confidence in his word that when you sow it, you will reap the fruit. So that's been really heavy on my spirit to do, is just sow more word. And I'm confident that if we sow more word as women to our children, we will see more fruit. A lot of times, well, we have to acknowledge, because like Pastor, he's always talking about restoration, and we have to remember that these children are a big part of the restoration. So we really got to get out of ourselves and stop focusing so much on ourselves and focus more on these children. And this just came to mind, but I remember Shepherd, he did on a Shabbat service, he was speaking about Hagar and Sarah and how their contention affected the family and affected the children, meaning because of their whatever they had going on, it affected the lives of Isaac and Ishmael. Pastor worded it so much better, of course, but it really hit me like, wow, it's so true, you know, because if we say we love our children the way we do, just for example, with the whole topic of polygyny, instead of being so selfish and focus on so much of our own feelings and emotions that are, you know, wrapped up in iniquity, you know, we should be caring so much more about the restoration and our children, because we got to be not only the example, for you know, for those around us, the heathens, the nations, but we also got to be an example for our own children who are watching us, right? We're restoring, you know, we're restoring polygyny, but if we're going into it with a negative spirit, you know, it's what is it going to do for the generation coming after us? We have to be really mindful of how we are carrying ourselves and conducting ourselves, because these children are watching us. So we got to love the Father so much that we are willing to let go of ourselves and our feelings and emotions that are wrapped up in iniquity, and think about what are they seeing? You know, what kind of example are we being to them? And I just loved that example that Pastor put out when he was speaking of Hagar and Sarah pertaining to how it affected the children. And it motivates me to want to be better in every aspect that the children, you know, so that the children can have a good example so that they, when they are grown men and women, that they are not hindered because of my own selfishness, so that they are not hindered because of, you know, me not wanting to get rid of iniquitous ways. One of the things also that I was meditating on is the fact that, and I feel like I might be jumping around a little bit, but it's going back to one of the things I was speaking of earlier, how we are towards children. I appreciated how Mama Brenda was with my master's children, but not everybody is going to be that way with my children or any of the other children. Some women, some may be struggling still with the frustrations, with the impatience towards children. And one thing I realized is that I can't control what others do. I can't control how a woman is feeling towards my children, whether it be frustrated, impatient. All I can do is pray, you know, that we all, you know, manifest the fruits of the Spirit. But at the end of the day, only that person can, you know, have that transformation for themselves. They would have to, you know, between them and Yah, get right. So what that has helped me to focus more so on is focusing more on what I can do, not so much on what others are doing to me or towards my master's children, because the topic is the children, but more so what I can do for my children, what I can do for other children. So if, you know, if I see somebody and they may not be treating my master's children with the greatest level of patience or tenderness or temperance, well, I don't let it offend me. I don't let it offend me because I want to make it to the kingdom, and that's not going to do anything for me. Me getting upset about it, me getting, you know, angry that, oh, did you see how she spoke to my child? You know, because at the end of the day, that's between them and the Father. I can't control that. I can't control that, sister. But what I can do is just be so determined that it's okay. I'm going to love my child. I'm going to show them that patience and tenderness that as women we should show. And I'm also going to be very motivated to show that to every other child that is in my presence, on community and on other communities. I'm going to show them love and tenderness. I'm not going to fail to correct them because that is love. I will correct. I will instruct. I will teach. You know, I'll rebuke if I have to. You know, I'll rebuke the child if I have to. But I'm also going to have that balance of also being tender and kind to that child because that's also needed. It's also very healthy balance. And that encourages me so much, you know, focusing more on what I can do, because I can't focus on what anybody else is doing because I can't control that. I could just focus on what I can do, and it brings me so much peace and so much joy when I think about it that way, what I can do. And what ties into that is a lot of times, and I believe that the majority of the times and not all the times, when we're dealing with rejections, it's because there's still a lot of selfishness that we have to be free from. Because with, you know, when you're so focused on what others are doing for you, and when you're so focused on what others are giving to you, whether it be love or attention and all of these things, when you're so focused on what others can give to you or do for you, you open the doorway. You make it possible for you to feel rejected because you're so focused on yourself. But when you start focusing so much more on what you can give to others and what you can do for others, it doesn't give no more place for rejection because your mind is so focused on what you can do for that sister, for that child, for that person, and what you can give, the love that you can give, the kindness that you can give. And I'm telling you, there's so much peace there. There's so much comfort there. Because the more you focus on everybody else, you're going to get frustrated and you're going to get upset because you can't do anything about it, because you can't control it. But when you start focusing on what you can control, which is you, what you can do, what you can give, I'm telling you, there's so much peace, so much comfort in that. That's pretty much where I do my best to stay. And what I do for my children, if they're ever dealing with somebody who is treating them in a way, let's say if they're treating them pretty harsh, you know, let's say they correct them, but they correct them in frustration, and then, you know, the child, they see it, they feel it, and they wonder why, you know. One thing I've taught my daughter, especially my oldest daughter, I teach her to honor and respect no matter what, because as a child, no matter what that adult is doing, they have to honor and respect. It's not their place to rebuke or correct an adult that's out of place. So I tell her, you need to honor and respect. And I say, take it patiently. I take it patiently. And really when I'm teaching her, I'm equipping her for when she is without me, for when she is a grown woman. I'm teaching her knowing that whatever I'm instilling in her right now is going to help her when she's a grown woman also. And I want her to be spiritually strong. And I want her to be able to handle these things and not give place to spirits, because she also cannot control how other people's are towards her. But she can control how she receives it and how she is towards them. So I make sure she focuses on what she needs to do. I tell her, you know, you need to honor, you need to respect no matter what. Because, you know, they're older than you. It's not your place to rebuke them, to correct them. I said, but also you have patience. You take it patiently, but then you also have compassion and mercy. I say, you have compassion and mercy because that is just the weakness of their flesh. That is the weakness of their flesh, and you just continue to love them because that's what you need to do. You need to love them still. And so that gives my daughter peace because then she knows what she needs to do, and all she needs to do is love, honor, and respect. Take it patiently, having mercy and compassion, knowing that's just the weakness of their flesh. And that gives me great peace, knowing that even if that happens, she knows now how to respond even within herself. And now I don't have to be afraid of what if somebody deals with her this way, because I can't control that. I can't control who's going to deal with her and how they're going to deal with her. But what I can control is what I'm teaching her. And it gives me so much peace knowing that, okay, now she knows that if that happens again, which it may, now she knows how to respond and how to take it. And I believe that will help her when she's a grown woman as well.
Praise Yah. Hold on right there, Sister Erica. Mother Jennifer, you have anything to add?
The very good words, very sound and sober words. You know, Sister Ashley, I just wanted to say that I know you and I have discussed this before on the broadcast, and I think something really important to bring up is that for women to properly mother your child, you cannot take things personally. And I find that, you know, when you lose control of your emotions, it's because you're taking things personally. So you cannot properly mother that child when you are easily offended by things that your child has done. You know, you'll become offended. You'll take it personally. You'll think it's a personal attack against you. You have to learn how to have a balance, and you have to learn how to discipline out of love and not correct because you're offended. And you have to remember that, you know, offense is something that women typically struggle with. It just is. You know, I find it interesting that in this ministry we are still, as women, addressing issues about offense, about, you know, a sister being offended with another sister. Well, women, as mothers, can be offended with their children. So you don't want to correct out of an offense, and you don't want to not correct because you're guilty. So you truly have to have a balance, and that balance comes from love and love only, nothing else. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. I admire your I guess your response to the passing of Mother Brenda and how you were able to take from her the good that you saw and to apply it. And I know it's an onward process for you, too, because it's a very fresh event, you know. But I'm just submitting my ear to you tonight, Erica, and hearing what the Spirit says. So I live this with you all. I understand exactly what you're saying. Go ahead and add any more words, Erica.
Yes, ma'am. And with my meditations that I was just sharing right now of, you know, just teaching my daughter how to be towards older women who may deal with her, you know, maybe in frustration or anger or not being patient or temperate with her. It also brought me to meditate on how we are as daughters to our mothers. And I say that because sometimes as daughters in Israel, meaning grown women, you know, us grown women who are in our 20s and 30s, sometimes we can be very critical of the older women and how they are as aged women, how they are as mothers to us. You know, they're not enough of this and they're not enough of that and they're not a good example in this area or that area, or they don't do this or they don't do that, and they could be better in this area or that area and giving us wisdom and things like that. Sometimes we could be so critical of the aged women and of the older women of how they're performing their roles, but then focusing. But what as daughters we need to be doing more so of is focusing more on how we are as daughters towards them. How are we in our role as daughters towards the aged women, towards the older women? Sometimes as women we can expect so much of others, but we don't focus enough on what we can do ourselves. And so instead of having our mind focusing so much on what the older women can be doing for us, whether that be in help or teaching or whatever it may be, just focusing more on what we can do for our older mothers, our older women who are mothers unto us, and really it's having more honor and respect for them, despite of, you know, whatever we may think, you know, because if we say indeed that these women are like our mothers, then we should be treating them more so with honor and respect. And also, you know, just greater level of servitude as well. You know, we're supposed to serve our mothers and fathers as masters, it says in Sirach. And so just seeking what we can do for them more so when we're in their presence, just showing them a greater level of honor and respect. I know just small examples, you know, if I see an aged woman, you know, or an older mother, you know, doing something that I can alleviate her from, maybe alleviate her body from having to do, just being more motivated to do that, just being more willing, more mindful of what you can do to assist, to help, to serve, to alleviate, and just honor and respect how we speak to them, how we respond to them. It's in those little things, just being more mindful of that. And I think because a lot of daughters in Israel, meaning us women in our 20s and 30s, don't have mothers in the walk, a lot of times I believe as daughters we can fail in being good daughters to the mothers, not showing enough honor and respect. And I believe that's an area that we could just put more focus in on and just be more mindful of, just focusing on how we can be better daughters to the older women, to the aged women. And honestly, that would be an example to our children, to our daughters who are coming behind us as well. But for right now, that's most of what was on my heart. Right now, nothing else is coming up in, you know, in my spirit to share.
Hallelujah. Praise Yah. Let's go on a music break. We'll be right back. And you know I love this song.
Blessing and honor.
So much, Sister Erica, for tuning in, joining us tonight, for sharing. Hallelujah. I had my my beloved daughter, Judith, slip me a picture that she drew with highlighters. It says, I love you, Sister Ashley. My refrigerator is filled with pictures that Judith has drawn me, or cards or letters that she's written to me. I consider how precious I might be to her, how every move I make, everything I say, everything I do is probably observed by her, and how fearful that is. I appreciate her, hallelujah, and I can't seem to throw away anything that she gives me, hallelujah. Maybe the time will come when things will continue to pile up, and I'll be able to discard some of it, but it's very precious to me, building memories for a young daughter. Back to you, Sister Erica. Any closing words? Thank you so much for tuning in tonight. I'd like to let you go. And thanks to everyone in the chat room following along. Erica.
Yes, ma'am. Bless you all. Thank you for allowing me to speak tonight. I pray that it's edifying to my sisters. And I look forward to when I get to see all of my family again all across Israel.
Praise God. Thank you so much. Sister Sakina, please go ahead and hang up for I would like to play a clip.
Unlike today where you have so many nomad women running out here with no headship and no authority whatsoever at all, and this is the reason why that we're under condition in today in Israel. This is one of the reasons why, because people have taken all this so-called liberty and freedom, and that's what they said during the times of the judges. Because there was no judges in the land, every man did that which was right in his own eyes.
And how we practice that in straightway. So I'll turn that over to you.
You know, I've got to applaud our Israelite sisters, those who are in the ministry and then those who are coming to the ministry, because if you notice, any time that we perform ceremonies as a rite of passage to show everybody the way it should be done, 99% of the time is usually done by a man getting married to a virgin. And I literally have got to applaud the Israelite sisters who actually falls up under the headship and authority of a man who has been experienced in the world, who has, may have had multiple partners and may have been through a few divorces. I've got to applaud them for not even wanting to stand up and lie like the world does and put on a white dress as if you are pure and holy and set apart and charade and parade around as if you are the same value and you carry the same value as a woman who has actually strived to keep herself until this day right here. I literally truly got to applaud them because they're not bringing a stigma, a negative stigma up on the ministry. And not only that, they're actually showing within themselves that they understand where that they have messed up, probably because the difference with us and a lot of people is because a woman is designed to be covered from cradle to grave. A woman is never, ever to leave her father's house until she marries her husband, and then at that time she transfers over to the husband. Unlike today where you have so many nomad women running out here with no headship.
Hallelujah. Bless you all. Thank you so much for tuning in tonight. Praise his holy name for what he is doing in our lives. Thank you, Mother Jennifer, for always being there. I pray that we hear what the Spirit of Yah is saying. I pray that as he grants each of you personal experiences and what he's doing inside of you, may he make a way for you to also share it with all the women who tune into our show. Hallelujah. All right, y'all have a good night.